Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This episode of Believe in South Carolina is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, B-L-E-A-V-5-0, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, time for Believe in South Carolina.
Michigan at the 41. What a hit! Ball's free! On the ground! South Carolina deserves to have it, and they do!
Football is officially back, boys and girls. Welcome in. It is September 6th. It is a Tuesday. It is a talking Tuesday. South Carolina, the coaches, the players, they'll be speaking later today, but it's our turn to talk first here on Believe in South Carolina. He's Nick Klaus. He's Marcus Lattimore. I'm Mike Yuva, and we're going to recap what was, look, bottom line is a win is a win. A win is a win. We could take some of the good. We could talk about some of the bad. We could talk about what South Carolina needs to do going into week two. But the bottom line is this, you got to win week one, boys. That's the way I look at it.
If not, if you don't win week one, well, we don't want to know what's going to happen. We don't even want to visualize that. Mike, we got the win, man. It wasn't pretty. Nick, we got the win.
It wasn't.
What do you think?
It wasn't pretty. I mean, the truth is it wasn't pretty. And I wanted
y'all to get into it first because I just wanted to – I got some things – I have some things I have to say. And I want to feed off of y'all first, though.
No, I mean, it wasn't pretty. I mean, the way I'm looking at it as an optimist, they covered the spread. So it was 12.5. They covered. They won by 21. So what, Marcus?
No. I was just going to say it's not like Georgia State's not a talented team. Don't get me wrong.
And that's the thing. That's what I'm kind of looking at right now is the way I'm looking at this is it was week one. Like you guys said, you need a win in week one. They got it. Okay. Mission accomplished. Now we also use week one because we see a list of things that need to be improved. But the great thing about college football is the team you see in week one will not be the team you see at the end of the season.
That's true.
They have all season to improve. They can work on these things in practice this week before heading to Arkansas. You know, this showed what they got to work on. You know, we talked about it last week with me and Mike. We didn't know what we were going to expect. You know, we've had all the hype. Mm-hmm. We talked all about it, but we had to see a product on the field. We saw it. It wasn't pretty, but they got the job done. And there were a lot of good things that I saw, and I think that you guys saw too. And there were some things that need work, and we'll get into all that.
Yeah, well, let's get right into it. And if you're listening to me, the audio is just a little bit off today for me in comparison to the other two guys. I'm working remotely, just got done as we tape this on a Monday night. This is my dinner break, if you will. We're going to mix some Gamecock talk in there. That's what we're doing for dinner. So.
You like an energizer bunny, Mike. I don't know how you do it. And you bring it every time.
Well, we'll see if we can bring it.
Bring in the juice.
We're trying to bring the juice. I'll tell you, we're talking about some juice in a little bit. Juice Wells, he made his debut the other night. We'll talk about juice too. But yeah, we're working remotely. Patriots kick off their seasons. We're back in Boston, flew back in. I probably left around 5:30 this morning on Monday morning. We're back. Quick little trip, but it was good to be back there. And I say all that because, man, it was worth it. It was worth coming back down for multiple reasons. It was so good to see so many people because it was one of those things I couldn't really say at the time. So it was good to be able to see so many people, the passion that goes into it. Marcus, we were talking about before we hopped on, it's just different. There's something special about SEC football, but something that I want to lead off with, guys. was just the atmosphere. That was incredible. The lights, right? I understand some fans want to just get into the X's zone. We're gonna do that. There's gonna be plenty of that. But I feel like just that atmosphere, it was special. I don't want there to be another day game. I want there just to be night games. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. Now, look, with that all being said, you can have the lights, you can have the music, you can do this and that. But on the day, you need to be able to produce on the field. You need to show a good product. And that's the reason I'm leading with that, because I know there's a lot of people today. I know there were a lot of people on Monday, you know, the Monday morning quarterbacks that are disappointed for X, Y, and Z reasons. I get that. But at the same time, too, realize this. And this is not, look, you want to call it excuse? Fine. It's an excuse. This is year two, game 14 of a new coach. Okay. You have a new quarterback coming in. I said this even leading into the season. I said it on this platform. I've said it on Gamecock Central that I think this team has the ability to do something special this year, whether that be 7 wins in the regular season, whether that be 8 wins in the regular season. I still believe that today. But I felt like going into this season, especially the first 3 games, that this offense was going to have growing pains because you have a new quarterback. Just because you have someone that is very talented doesn't mean it's going to be all sunshine and rainbows. I'm going to throw a name out there. I don't know if you guys know his name. He plays quarterback in the NFL. His name's Tom Brady. I don't know if you guys remember how things were with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when he started. It was god-awful, to just put it lightly. They went on to win the Super Bowl that year. Now, granted, there's multiple factors that come into that, right? Defense was playing well, but the offense started clicking. So what I'm trying to get at is, I'm not saying South Carolina is going to win the SEC or the national championship, go to college football, but what I'm saying is have some patience. Have some patience knowing that, look, yes, that whole offensive line unit is returning. I get that. But this is the first time Rattler's playing with these guys. He's got to figure out, okay, how do I step up in the pocket in comparison to what I'm used to or when I roll out? So I think things are going to be a little challenging early on, especially with Arkansas week 2, Georgia week 3. But I do feel like this team will figure things out. I do believe, even though it's at Arkansas, and I think it's going to be a tough challenge, guys, I do feel like we will see improvements from week 1 to week 2.
You know, Mike, I am glad that you start off the way that you started off. Because when I came onto this podcast, I was ready to rip some people apart. I really was.
There's a lot of people that probably want you to. There's probably a lot of people that want you to. So don't hold back.
No. But you frame the truth. You that's exactly what you just did. You frame the truth of the matter is that it doesn't matter who you are. When you come into a new situation, quarterback, receiver, defense, whatever, you coming into a whole new scheme. And another thing that just slips over my mind now as a fan, I hadn't been on the field in forever, is that, I mean, you just cannot replicate what it's like at game speed. You just can't. You can't replicate 80,000. You can't replicate the LED, the lights, the new lighting system that we have, and you know how the crowd. I mean, just that crowd playing a big factor, and you know, the spirit of Sean Elliott coming in there wanting blood. You know, I mean, he's from Camden, South Carolina. He's a game cock. You factor in all of that. You frame the truth, but you know, I will say this. I was really surprised at. I was surprised at how we didn't attack more still, you know, particularly with the comments around, you know, from our offensive coordinator about, you know, Spencer Rattler not coming here to run the football. You know, I thought we were going to, you know, at least from my perception going into the game, I thought we were going to attack a little more. So, but that was surprising. But no, you bring up some great points just about, I mean, God, like, I got to be patient. We all got to be patient. I mean, it's just something that.
When's that stop?
Time to jail.
Nick, and I'm sure as a student, you've gone through it. You've seen it. This fan base, they don't want to hear that P word. They don't want to hear patience. They had to deal with that for multiple seasons, especially towards the end of the Will Muschamp era. I understand that. And I'm not saying you need to be patient until week, you know, I keep saying that once we get to week four, right? Playing South Carolina State and the Charlottes of the world, all that kind of stuff, right? But it is going to be challenging at the beginning. I just feel like, Nick, that we're going to see a difference from week one to week two. I really do, just because you can throw on air all you want. You can go up against your own guys all you want. When you take that field for the first time, it's different. The timing changes. The timing changes with your routes. The timing changes when you do have a very good front that you were playing in Georgia State, a team that could easily go on to win 8-9 wins this year and compete for a Sun Belt title. So I say all that because, yeah, are they Georgia? No. Are they Arkansas? No, certainly not. But I do feel like for a week one test, this is better to have gone up against a team like this in comparison to an Eastern Illinois like last year. Okay, you got to win. Special teams, we'll get into that a little bit. The offense needs to make some improvements. But I still feel like, hey, look, it's week one. If you're having these issues week two, okay, let's talk about it then. Mm-hmm. It's week one.
We talked about patience last podcast, the podcast before it. We talked about it all summer. This one game versus Georgia State does not change what we are saying. We are still preaching patience, but I'm not looking at the week one game and throwing my hands up in the air and being like, what's going on? Why we're not going to have the, I'm sticking with what I told, what Mike said last week, what I said last week, I'm sticking with 8-4. My prediction for the season has not changed based on what I saw in week one. I'm not too concerned. Yes, there are things that were concerning. There were plays that the play calling was, like Marcus said, I was confused on the way, you know, the offense was running. I thought it would be more aggressive. You know, there were things like that. The offensive line didn't look the best. That needs to improve. So, you know, yes, those are things you got to work on. And you can count on it that Beamer is going to address these issues. And they're going to work on them throughout the season and they're going to improve. I mean, Beamer preaches getting better every single day. That doesn't change once you're just in season. It's not, hey, the product in week one is the product we're going to get every single week. That's not how it is. So, you know, be patient with a new quarterback that's never played at South Carolina. I heard on another podcast earlier today, Utah, they couldn't practice humidity in the swamp. They couldn't practice that. They couldn't prepare for that. They could try. They could try to get in the mental headspace, but they couldn't. South Carolina, they're going to try their best to prepare for Razorback Stadium, you know, but once they're there, it's going to happen. So you can't prepare for everything. And, you know, game speed is different. It's not practice. It's not going up against your guys. Georgia State was a good test. It was a good week one test. I liked that we had that game, and they're a solid team. And you know what? We showed that an SEC team is going to beat the crap out of a Sun Belt team, a good Sun Belt team, and not even beat the crap out of, but just handedly win. But you know, the way they won, I think, is disappointing people. You know, it wasn't Rattler with four TDs and 300 plus yards and no interceptions. Our special teams balled out. That's how it worked. So, you know, this isn't changing how I look at the rest of the season. We're still preaching patience because each week, you know, it's one week at a time. They're going to practice. They're going to get better. And, you know, this season's not off the rails. So just keep it together.
And that's the expectation going into it, Mike, when you say, you know, like, you know, you expect an SEC team, regardless of who it is. If a team is coming from a lower conference, you just expect, you kind of expect the blowout. But that's, I mean, football is changing. I mean, I think we saw that with North Carolina and App State. I mean, yeah. App State will bring a team to their stadium. You know, where they will bring a high, they get higher level schools to come to them. You know, that, I mean, there's multiple schools, like, I mean,
Old Dominion.
I mean, it's just football is, I mean, Jackson State will be competing with higher level schools a couple of years from now. I mean, so Marcus, is-
I want to say this though, because people are going to look at it and they're going to be like, well, we're an SEC school. Look, I'm not saying you need to lower your expectations, the standard. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, and what you're saying is, the landscape of college football is different. And when you're going into a week one game, and what did Beamer even say last week? He hates week one games. That's why I give a lot of credit to the Notre Dames of the world, the Ohio States, the even Clemson last year against Georgia, Oregon this year. I give teams a lot of credit that actually have the balls to go out there and play some of these top five, top 10, top 15 matchups. Because you don't know what the hell you're going to see. You're going to have to try to install things a hell of a lot quicker. So there's just so many unknowns, Marcus. But I just wanted to bring that up because people are going to probably hear what we're saying, be like, you know, we're South Carolina. We're the SEC. I get that. No one's disagreeing with that. But just like one game, slow down.
And we're not Alabama. We're not Georgia, where you have a – where you have like a well-oiled machine, where you just pick, where you can just plug in because of the culture that's been built. You know, once a culture of sustainability has been built, kind of like Alabama, like, you know, you just know week one, they're going to blow out a lower level opponent simply because discipline is kind of like just baked into who they are. You know, not making mistakes is just baked in the hoop. We'll get to that point.
We saw it this weekend, Georgia and Oregon. We saw literally that. We saw that they lost a lot. They had great players last. They lost a lot. They didn't fall back. They crushed a top ranked team that's not going to be top ranked anymore, but they were, and they crushed them. Bringing in all their new guys came in and they didn't miss a beat because, like you said, that's that well-oiled machine thing. We're not there.
They found the formula. They found that formula, and now, okay, I know what player fits this culture. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what works in our system. And he's not deviating from that. And, I mean, again, being at Alabama, Georgia, rich tradition, guys are going to come there no matter what. Whether it's 80s, 90s, 2030, 2040, people are still going to be going to Alabama, Georgia, since because of how it's been shaped. But if you're not those two teams, Ohio State, if you're not those three teams, mistakes are inevitable, you know. And that's something as a fan, I completely forget because I'm yelling at the TV, you know. I'm looking at the situation from like, man, God, let's go. Let's get this thing rolling, you know, because, Coach Beamer, guy, that's passionate. And he's got everybody passionate right now. And everybody is wanting to see they just want to see an efficient product on the field. They want to see us fast and efficient. And week one, okay, it didn't happen, but a lot of good things did happen. And Juice Wales, Mike, you mentioned him earlier. I didn't know he was that his body was just so fluid, and you know, his routes were just crisp, and he just looks, oh my God, I mean, he just looks like a guy that's gonna be able to help us, you know, in that long stretch against really good teams. Like, he can play against really good teams. He could go anywhere and play, you know, just looking at it.
And that's one of the reasons why I know on this platform, I've said it on Gamecock Central. That's why I had people that I've known for years. I've had, you know, coaches who I've met over the years that had a game plan against them. They said, this guy's the real deal. He can play inside. He can play outside. It's third down. Everyone in the stadium, including the mothers, know the ball's going to him. He doesn't change who he is. He's not afraid of it. That's the reason why he had confidence going into this week saying, you know, we're going to kill him. Like, that's just who he is. Now, you know, one of my favorite quotes of all time, Mike Tyson, everyone's got a game plan until you get punched in the face. He's going to take a hit. He's going to take that, you know, welcome to the SEC hit. That's going to be his moment. It happens to everybody. That will happen to him. how's he going to respond to that? I think he's going to respond positively. I will say this, though, to go back to it. The offense, in my opinion, is although I said that it's going to take some time, there's going to be growing pains, all that kind of stuff. Certainly, they did not live up to at least the expectations that I personally had and probably a lot of people had. The reason why I feel like the Monday morning quarterbacks, are using a phrase by Nick Muse, the fat dads on the couch, right? The reason why we're hearing so much of that today, and I'm not saying this about everyone, there's a lot of pink hat fans. There's a lot of pink hat fans who had high expectations, too high of expectations, 10 wins, this. And the people that truly get it, they understand there's going to be growing. You can still be frustrated, but that's the reason why. That's the reason why this frustration today. This is game 14 under Beamer. A guy, and I know people hate hearing it over and over, a guy who came back in to this program, getting hired on December of 2020, replacing a coach in a program that had 6 wins combined those 2 previous seasons before he got here. That's not to excuse what we saw from an offensive standpoint. That's not to excuse anything that takes place this season. It's just bringing it back to reality. And the reality is, this isn't going to just happen overnight. And I think some people, the 7 wins, the addition of Spencer Rattler, in their minds, they started just painting this image of, okay, hey, look, 10 wins, this, that. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Again, that's not to say that they can't do good things this year. It's just like, hey, look, there's still going to be growing pains. You could put, again, Tom Brady, for example, you put someone in right there, it's going to take some time. It's going to take time, but that's all right. Because I do think we saw a lot of good, we saw some young players make some plays.
Mm-hmm.
This team is going to be okay.
I'm just curious. I mean, all 3 of us would probably say disappointed in the offense and how it performed in game 1.
I say
Yeah. So all three of us have said that. What were people expecting? Yes, I'm disappointed, but I think
what you said earlier, Nick.
We were expecting
normal. People expected Rattler some, the pink hat fans, they expected to see Rattler throw 4 or 5 touchdown passes. They expected to see a 50 burger out there. They expected that. They didn't do their homework that Georgia State's a good team. Yes, some people knew that there's extra motivation for guys like, you know, Jamias Williams or a guy like, as we mentioned before, Sean Elliott, who did a tremendous job at South Carolina, and Marcus would know a hell of a lot better about that than us. But this team is going to be in a position to compete if they stay healthy in the Sun Belt. But that aside, that's not making excuses. This is an SEC team, okay? It's going to take some time. But just watch. I would not be shocked, even against Arkansas this week, Nick, to see this offensive line that everyone's talking about. And I get it, okay? It's not just the O-line. It's Rattler, too. It's the guys in the perimeter when they don't miss the, when they're missing their blocks and screens. You watch how just different things are going to look this week. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm looking at the glass half full, but just the Marcus, you know this a hell of, you know this better than anyone. Timing, every little thing, right? We talk about, you know, any given Sunday, the game of inches, it's a game of seconds too. So Rattler's going to be in a better spot. He's going to know this team better. He's going to know where he has to stand in the pocket, when to get out, just that timing. Like I don't know. Maybe I'm sipping the Kool-Aid. I just think it's going to look different this week.
That's what I'm saying is I just don't under, like, yes, I'm disappointed in the offense. I'm not throwing the season away. I'm not looking at it like, oh, wow, they're going to suck. Or, you know, if you're sitting here after week 1 and saying they're not going to win 10 games, what have we been saying this entire time?
They're going to win 10 games.
They're not going to win 10 games. We've said that. We've said 7-5, 8-4 is more realistic. Well, you know, yeah, there were disappointing things. You know, when Rattler threw the second pick, yes, I was, like Marcus said, we're fans. We both went to the University of South Carolina. I was pissed. But I'm not giving up on the season. I didn't expect them to win 10 games. So, you know, I'm not that worried. I think we are going to bounce back. We will be okay. And I think I agree, Mike. We're going to see a different team in week two. We're going to see an improved team. I'm not saying, now don't take this and say, oh, the Georgia State game was a fluke. They're going to come beat Arkansas, then beat Georgia, then beat that. No, no. They're going to be an improved team. They're going to improve throughout this week. They're going to address the issues. And hopefully we see a better product on the field. And, you know, so we'll see. But that's what I agree, Mike.
And an improved team means less mistakes.
That's all it is, Marcus. Thank you. It's not 50 points. Thank you.
Just less mistakes. I mean, and you know, it's like you're out at sea and you've been sailing. And at first, you know, you're a little seasick. And then after a while, I mean, you get your sea legs, you know, and things start to smooth out. And some things are some situations that you've been in the past, you're able to respond a little bit differently than you did before it was all coming at you. You know what I mean? I just think about, you know, I mean, if you just go into the mind of I'm not singling out Spencer Rattler, but just all of the players, you know, you go into their mind. I mean, it's been a while. You know, it's been a while, and I mean, obviously they're feeling all of this pressure. I mean, that's a lot to manage, you know, and getting back out there, getting hit for the first time. I mean, my God, that takes a little bit off of you, you know. So I mean, we've been through it, and I see nothing but up. I do. I think things are going to be well. Just from a simply because of, I mean, golly, we have weapons. Like, we do have weapons. It's just going to take some time for it to gel. We got some weapons.
That's exactly what I came away with, the same thing. I mean, yeah, did Marshawn Lloyd have a crazy game that everyone's talking around the country? No, but I did see him do things that I was like, oh crap, like.
He bounced that run, Nick. He bounced that run out to the side. I was like, I hadn't seen the guy make a cut like that in a minute. Like, I mean, he bounced it three levels out. You know, I would like to have seen him stick it in there a little bit more in the inside. You know, keep it inside on some runs. But I mean, there was one run. I mean, they were going into our territory, maybe on the 15-yard line. He bounced it out three levels. And, I mean, okay, there's nothing wrong with his knee anymore.
We didn't see him. That's the first thing that came to mind. We didn't see him run like that last year.
No.
What does this do for Marcus? That was my first thought. What does this do? Because, Nick, you brought it up. From a national standpoint, it's not going to be, you know, making the front page of ESPN. But to be able to come back, right, Christian Beal-Smith banged up. Marshawn had more opportunities. We can get into Jaheim Bell a little bit. Nostradamus over here making predictions about, you know, Jaheim Bell running the ball 100 times this year, Marcus. But we saw
93 away. I'm 93 carries away.
Start scratching him down. And we brought it up. We brought it up. We'll get into it a little bit later. But 107.5 The Game actually played the audio from this very podcast on their airwaves, I think, a day after you made that prediction, and people are calling in, laughing at it. Not directly you saying, can't see that happening. Okay, look what's going on right now. But Marcus, for Marshawn, though, you've gone through this before. You've gone through this before. Different circumstances, right, in terms of it was 2 years away, you know, ago. But point being is this. He's able to go out there. And last year, and he mentioned it, he didn't realize how much of a mental hurdle it would be to come back. He says he's in a better place now, that he's not worried about how others perceive, okay, I'm trying to impress this person or that person. I'm just going out and just being myself. He's able to go out there and have a game like that number one, from an injury standpoint, I'm sure it does wonders in terms of your confidence. Like, hey, look, I can do that. You know, hurdling dudes like he was back in high school, like we saw from his highlight reel, making some of those cuts, scoring two touchdowns, one on the ground, one through the air. What does a game like that do when you're coming back from an injury, regardless of how long ago it was, just to be able to have something that you could look at and be like, hey, look, I can do it. I still can do it.
Well, you feel relieved. First off, it's like a breath of fresh air to get back out on the field. And I mean, to me, it doesn't look like he was thinking at all. You know, he was just reacting and responding. And I mean, obviously he has the buoyancy in his knees are there. I mean, there's nothing to really worry about when he's doing his thing. You know, and his running style is just, it's unique to him. Everybody has a running style that's unique to him. And I mean, he's able to make people miss, you know? I mean, that's what makes Marshawn Lloyd who he is, his ability to make people miss. And I mean, which is, I mean, quite frankly, just not a popular trait at running back. You wish everybody had that ability, you know, but some, I mean, he can do that. And I mean, 11 carries, falling on the ground, getting hit, getting back up, bouncing back up, not thinking about your knee over and over. It's just, you mentioned it earlier, it's just building your confidence. That's all it's doing. It's building your confidence and letting you know I'm still that guy. I'm still that guy that came out as the five star. I'm still that guy. Mm-hmm. And nothing's really changed. Now, obviously the speed of the game is going to be a little bit different next week, you know? So he's got to be able to stick it in there. You know, there were a few runs that I wish he would have kept it inside, you know, but I mean, heck, I'm not out there, you know, I don't have mm-hmm. his eyes. I don't have his vision. That's, you know, that's the last thing, you know, as a running back coach, I never told a guy where to run. You know, trust your eyes, trust your instincts, and as long as you're playing fast, if you make the wrong read, you make the wrong read. But I mean, there are some situations where, you know, selfishly, if I'm analyzing the game, I wish he would have kept it inside, because he's gonna have to do that next week. You know, with Arkansas and, you know, the teams in the SEC, you just can't bounce it outside. I mean, there's defensive ends that are running 4.6, you know, 4.6 and 4.5. And, you know, they'll make that tackle, you know, and that's just the reality of it. You know, keep that thing. He's fast. Don't get me wrong. I mean, God, he's way faster than I was, but he can use that speed, you know, just keep it inside. But I mean, his confidence is building. You know, I'm so excited for him, man. He's, you know, even that play on the pylon. You see the replay of it where he's bending and he's turning a little bit just to get it inside the pylon. That was just so good to see because he was balanced on both legs, and we're gonna need him. I mean, we're gonna need him every game if we're gonna. Nick, it was what the projections 8-4. If we're going 8-4, we're going.
Me and Mike both said 8-4. That was our.
If we're going to win 8 games, we need Marshawn. We need Marshawn to play well for all 12 games. Like he has to play well. Our success offensively is determined on. Determined on what he can do, and I mean, obviously, he's not doing it alone. You know, a big part of that is the healthiness of the offensive line, but the gauntlet is starting next week. Mm-hmm. And we need him. We need him big time.
Mike, was his touchdown, I forget, was that a 1 yard? Did they call that a 1 yard rushing touchdown? Something like that. It was within
maybe 1-2, something like that. Yeah,
well, that was the hardest working 1 yard touchdown I've ever seen. He worked hard for that. That wasn't you look on ESPN, if you're not paying attention to the game, you say 1 yard touch. Oh, he just ran it in. It was easy. Nothing happened. That's not impressive. You watch it, hits the outside, like
kept his balance,
gets inside the pylon, gets the touch. I was like, I literally, that's what I thought watching it. I was like, that was the most impressive 1 yard rush from that guy.
Who stood out to you guys? Anyone else in particular? Anyone that you just said, like for me, just seeing what Jalen Brooks did.
I was just about
incredible.
To say Jalen Brooks, how can we not
see him come back?
So fast.
Led the team in receiving. He looks like a man that's truly on a mission after not having an opportunity to play football since the Tennessee game last October. He's a guy that comes to my mind. I mean, Mo Cobba did a good job defensively.
Now, was he that fast last year? He was that fast last year too, wasn't he? Jalen Brooks. I mean, the guy.
We just didn't get to see it. We didn't get to see it because he was away from the team for personal reasons.
Yeah.
He made that phenomenal catch against Georgia. Yep.
He has already over half.
And he looks like himself.
He has over half of what he had last year in one game. And, you know, you can't not talk about how he was playing. I mean, I think it was, what, 4 receptions, 88 yards? Lightning. Yep. Like,
catch down the sideline.
How many South Carolina fans wouldn't have been able to pick Jalen Brooks out?
Right.
Who he was.
Right.
He had a hell of
especially,
a game.
Especially with the new number, too.
Exactly.
Spencer Rattler. I mean, we saw flashes of his ability to extend plays. And at the end of the day, he's just got that. That's a quality that you just can't coach. You can't coach what's about to happen with Patrick Mahomes. You can't coach what used to happen with Johnny Manziel. He is in that category. Like, he's in that category of a guy who can, okay, ain't nothing there. Let's scramble. Receivers, get open. Like, if you're short, go deep. If you're deep, come back. And keeping his eyes downfield, making that throw. I mean, it's that more of that to come. More of that to come for sure. Because, I mean, heck, he's again, that was his first game. You know, first game in the Carolina uniform. Get all of the jitters out. Get all of that stuff out. And, I mean, go play ball. Go be you. And I'm pretty sure. Well, I know for certain, you know, Coach Satterfield, Coach Beamer, they know who he is. I mean, he's a guy who can do that. And I was excited when I saw that.
Marcus, I'm glad you brought him up, though, because you know this game. You've played this game. You played at South Carolina. Some people are just going to look at the box score. They're going to look at the 2 interceptions, one which, you know, got tipped. Receiver should have caught that.
Not his fault. Not his fault.
You know, but they're going to look at some of the incompletions. They're going to look at the QBR. We saw that today, right? Bottom of the SEC or 12th, whatever the case may be.
Last
and everyone,
SEC.
All these people get so caught up on these stats. That's what they see. What did you see, though, that makes you say, hey, that's something that was a positive? Because I get it. You want to look at the stat sheet, you could tell any story, right? Left, right. What did you see? What did your eyes show you, Marcus?
Well, that flick of the wrist where, he just lets it go quicker than the average quarterback. That's always beautiful to see with him. I see a guy who's confident and a guy who wants to win the game. You know, I mean, it's just as simple as that. Mistakes are going to happen. I mean, I think Trey Lance is like the only person who never threw an interception. He in 2019, I saw a stat. He had 28 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. That never happens. You know, when you have a guy who is a extender of plays, who is a fantastic athlete, who, you know, loves the fun and gun, loves to throw the ball around, mistakes are going to happen. Interceptions are going to happen. Can you judge his performance based off of that? Yes and no. Because, I mean, protect the ball, I get it. Yeah, we got to protect the ball. But at the end of the day, this is the quarterback that we have. We have a guy who is literally a game changer at quarterback. Now, I mean, that's not all. Everybody doesn't have a game changer at quarterback. You know, like he's the guy like who can he can rally us and we can win the whole game because like mostly because of him. You know, we like to say this is a team game, but Tom Brady, I mean, come on. Yeah, yes. I'm not saying that all of the other factors don't matter, but Manziel, he won a lot of games by himself. Mahomes, he wins a lot of games when he extends plays, when we don't know what's going to happen. You look at Josh Allen with the Bills, he wins a lot of games when you don't know what's going to happen. You know, when things are unstructured, when the offensive coordinator calls the wrong play, they can make something happen. That's the kind of guy that we got. And I'm going to ride with a guy like that. Number one, it's a lot. The game is a lot more exciting. Mm-hmm. And then two, like, it's just, I mean, he wants to win. He wants to win. And you see it like, yeah, you saw him, you know, the sense of urgency that he had after that play. You know, he was trying to rally the guys and get them going. And I mean, let him be him. And you know, mistakes will come, but at the end of the day, we just coach him up and let him continue to do that. It's the running game. The running game is going to be a big part of it. But what Spencer Rattler does, I think weighs a ton.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I'll touch on Rattler, and then I do have a question for you guys. But first with Rattler, well, one with a quarterback that can win a game. I mean, we saw it at an SEC team with Florida and Anthony Richardson. He was the best player on the field. He won that game. It was a very good game. He won that game. And Rattler, I agree, is that type of guy. Am I going to rate Rattler's performance an A+? No, definitely not. No. What am I looking at? Because like Marcus said, mistakes happen. He made mistakes. Yes, he's not a perfect game by any means. Lots to improve on. What I'm looking at is his arm talent, his ball placement, you know, his ability to move in the pocket. You know, it wasn't amazing because the O-line wasn't holding up great. You know, he was still learning. You could tell there that it was a learning experience. It was his first time in William B. in a Carolina uniform. But those things, Marcus, you just said, those flashes of his talent were what made me excited, because that guy is the quarterback at the University of South Carolina, and he's only going to get better. If that doesn't excite you, then I don't know. You just watched a team use four quarterbacks. We opened the season with Zed Nolan last year. I'm pretty happy. Thank you, Zeb. You did a lot for us. But I'm pretty happy with Spencer Rattler and how he played, because he had a lot of talent. And you saw that talent. But it has to become more consistent. You got to take care of the ball. And if anyone comes up to me and tries to say, Rattler had two picks, he sucks, he had one pick that was his fault, and the other one should have been caught. So you obviously didn't watch the game, if that's what you're telling me, and that's your argument. So you can't look at a stat line. Like Mike said, you can't look at a stat line and make an assumption on how someone played, because he had flashes of his talent, but overall performance, you know, I wouldn't rate an A+. I probably wouldn't rate it a B. I mean, but he's got ways to go, and he's going to improve. And the question I actually have for you guys is, Marcus just talked about how Arkansas, you know, Lloyd is going to have Rattler, Lloyd, all the Wells, they're all going to have to be ready for, you know, that better talent, a different environment. Do you think there was some playing down to the opponent on Saturday?
Georgia State is talented. Georgia State has a lot of talent that, I mean, quite frankly, could be playing at South Carolina.
It's true.
Was there some playing down? That's such a good question. I don't know if it was playing down. I just feel like the first game against a quality opponent where, you know, the likelihood of mistakes and penalties and a lot of things happening, the likelihood goes up when you play a better when you play a quality opponent. The conference is what, like, just is the thing that people see, and it's like, we should have beat them by way more than that because of the conference that they're in. But golly, I mean, they get the same talent we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, essentially, you know, these guys maybe just were a inch shorter, or they weighed 10 pounds less. Mike, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it.
I don't know how I would put a percent on it, but it was something that we've talked about before, that for the majority of this team, outside of the Brad Johnsons of the world, outside of the Eric Douglases of the world, outside of the guys that are super seniors for the most part, they don't know what handling success looks like. Even a guy like Spencer Rattler, Juice Wells, Austin Stogner, Christian Beal-Smith, guys that are coming here, Terrell Dawkins, Devonte Reed, they don't know what success looks like at South Carolina. So you come in here, and I'm not saying, especially the guys I just named, I'm not saying everyone felt this way, but I do believe that some of the players will probably feel themselves a little bit, hearing how good they are, because this is a new feeling for them. They're not used to people on campus having this type of excitement about them. Again, the majority of this team, you have to go back to the 2017 season when they won the Outback Bowl, right? And they went to the Belk Bowl, the then Belk Bowl, which is obviously a bowl game that many Gamecock fans don't want to remember. After that, it was downhill from a win-loss standpoint. But the point being is, a lot of these players don't know what it's like to handle success or what playing the following year after having a quote-unquote successful season at South Carolina. So I think there's parts of it. I think that for some of these guys, but we can look at it as a whole, as a team, they needed this. They needed a little bit of a wake-up call. Like, hey, look, yeah, you know what? You got some dudes. You got some dudes on both sides of the ball. You got some dudes in special teams. Don't matter if you can't produce. You have to go put it out there in the field. So I say all that because I want to transition before we wrap things up about for both of you. And I'm going to bring this back because we haven't brought up something that needs to be said. But I'm doing that on purpose. Okay? So we will get to that. There's a reason why I haven't said anything yet. What do you guys want to see this week against Arkansas? What will make you personally feel better about this team after week two?
What I want to see is a more confident O-line, a more confident and stable offensive line. I don't know if I will see that, because, you know, we just talked about how they were playing against Georgia State, and we've talked all this podcast about how they're about to go up against a much better team in Arkansas in week two. So I don't know if we're actually going to see it. I think we'll see improvement, but I mean, I want to see a more stable, confident offensive line. I also want to see a more aggressive, you know, play calls. That's what I'd want to see. Because I mean, like you just said, we got some guys, we got some dogs on the South Carolina, like some great players with great talent. And, you know, I want to see them do well, but I think these little things need to be fixed if you're going to see that.
Agreed. Match their physicality. I mean, Arkansas is going to try to run the ball, you know.
Mm-hmm. Damn right they're going to.
They're going to try to run the ball. We have to match their physicality, or it'll be. I mean, it's just going to get ugly. It has a potential to get ugly if we don't match their physicality. Now, that's just being real, but simply because of like how they recruit and, you know, their head coach. I mean, being the offensive line guy, and you know, and them boys in Arkansas, Alabama. I mean, they're going to run the ball, and that's basically saying I'm better than you. Like I'm just better than you. From that stamp, like football is that. You know, we try to complicate it. It's blocking, it's tackling, it's put the ball in the best player's hands. It's those three things. And if blocking and tackling, I mean, it's, man, be physical running the football, be physical on defense. Just be physical or it won't be pretty. It's just that team it's like the Kentucky of the West. You know, Kentucky's always physical. And I mean, there's a lot of times when they would just say, we just gonna run it down your throat. And they did it to us during my time and, you know, after. So that's it, Mike. We got to run the ball against them.
Need to run the ball. Not just need to be able to run the ball, need to be more complete in just all three phases, right? And there's a reason why I didn't bring up special teams. It's become an area that is expected now. I posted this today on Gamecock Central, did a little research the other night. In 14 games, South Carolina has now blocked six kicks. 14 games. In yeah. South Carolina's previous ball, 49 baby. Games, okay? In South Carolina's previous 49 games before that, that goes back to the 2016 Birmingham Bowl against USF, okay? South Carolina had blocked six kicks. So I say all that because, look, Beamer ball, give big credit to Pete Lembo and just getting guys to buy into it. Pete Lembo deserves a lot of credit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Beamer ball, no question. Lembo deserves a lot of credit for getting guys.
Tanner, give him a raise.
Yep. And give credit to Beamer for making special teams a priority. Shocker, right? That a Beamer's making special teams a priority by hiring a special teams coordinator. You're going to need a more complete game this week. And here's why. You block two kicks. What's going to happen, Marcus? Teams are going to want to be able to stay back a little bit longer when they're blocking. And what's that going to do? That's going to allow a guy like Josh Van an opportunity to break a kick. You're going to have to do things in different ways on special teams. So I bring that up because that is an area of the game. We're talking about being more complete. I know it's still special teams. They need to be able to win in other ways other than just blocking kicks to be able to win special teams. They did great things, right? Big punt by Kay Kroger, who's also named to the Ray Guy Super 8. As one of the top punters of the week. You can go vote for him right now. It's a fan vote. Go to, I think you can go to the Ray Guy on Twitter. You'll be able to find that, vote for him. But teams know it's the Beamer name. Teams see what took place the other night. Teams saw what took place last year when they had two block kicks in their opener. Teams are going to be a little more hesitant about sending an extra gunner a little quicker. They're going to wait a little bit longer. And because of that, that can be a good thing. So I would not be shocked to see South Carolina disguise a couple things this week and prepare to return more kicks and not necessarily put as much pressure on the punter in comparison to week one. It's a week to week thing, right? You see different things. We saw some of the things. I went back and watched the tape. The special teams was a big, big part of my career in college after getting hurt so much. Georgia State, I don't know what they were doing on some of those things. Blocking down when South Carolina, that second one, when they were overloading it to the left. I mean, they were literally blocking down, and it was kind of like, ole, you know, here you go. Come on in. You know, here's a seat. Here's a seat at the bar. So I say that because Arkansas is going to be ready. Arkansas is not going to be dumb. At least I don't think they're going to be dumb going into this game. So What I want to see is how does South Carolina respond this week on special teams? Because everyone's going to tell them how great they are. I'm telling you right now, Mitch Jeter setting records for program first time in USC history that a kicker had kicked 50-yard field goals more than once in the game. First time kicking is 2 for 2 in his career. Not bad, kid. Watch Josh Van or watch one of the punt returners this week. I'm telling you. I have a feeling that this is a week that South Carolina could break a big one.
And we need it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Nick, you mentioned it earlier. You know, we made a lot of big plays on special teams, and those plays on special teams, like, I mean, that's our edge. That is our edge. That's what's going to keep us in the game. Winning that turnover battle, it puts us in good field position. It's what was strange, Mike? I don't know if you. Because you were in the stadium, I don't know if you really, if you were able to experience it. But when Frank Beamer was talking, Frank Beamer came up and talked on set for SEC Plus. When he was talking, we blocked that punt. I thought that was just so strange, like how.
And he turned to Chris Dorian because I spoke with Chris about it later. He's like, "Beamer ball." That's what he said.
That was pretty cool.
Wrap it up with this. Oh, Nick, you go. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, you just said Beamer ball. I mean, how great of it is to watch. I also watched it on TV, Marcus. And
yeah,
you're sitting there. I mean, Mike saw it in the stadium. You're sitting there after a blocked punt and you're seeing Beamer running up and down the sidelines, going crazy. And yes, it's Beamer. That's who he is. He shows passion. He shows love for it. But you're telling me that's Beamer ball. That is a coach that has coached special teams at multiple schools and he has emphasized it and it is working. I agree with Mike. It's not going to work like that every week. And the thing is, if you take away those two blocked punts and you take away the, you know, we could be looking at a 21-14 football game against Georgia State. That no one would want to see that. We would have been a lot more disappointed talking on this podcast right now. But, you know, that's their game, and they did a great job. Pete Lambeau did a great job. Jeter, how the fit 250 plus in his debut?
53, the first one, 51, the second one.
Right.
I'm glad you
smack
that
dab
up.
Down the middle.
Like, what
I'm
the
glad
heck?
You brought that up about Beamer jumping around. Here's the thing about that. I see Kentucky, I think it was, you know, different fan bases having fun. Oh, he's a corny dude. Like, you know, he's celebrating against, you know, a group five team. Here's the thing. You're missing the point. And probably about 99% of those people that responded have never played football. You want to know why? By Beamer doing that, it's doing something that you need to be able to do if you want to have a good special teams unit. You need to get your players excited to play special teams. They see him reacting that way, right? You can preach all you want about how, you know, 90% of the teams that when they block a kick, they win a game. How field position is important, right? When you start on the plus side in comparison to the minus side, like, you know, just the differentials and the percentages that go up when you start near the 40 or whatever the case may be. They see him get excited. You know what that does? It gets the players excited. It gets players excited to want to be on special teams. You know, guys like Nick Muse, who, if he didn't come back to make a difference on special teams, he wouldn't be with the Vikings right now. Special teams is huge for multiple reasons. But when you're at that college, when you are playing for South Carolina, you need to be excited to be out there on the field. So when I see that, I see a guy that we know, right? Frank Beamer ball, that kind of stuff. That's great. But you know what, though? That means absolutely nothing if you're not actually showing them how much you care about it. So by him jumping around, that gets the players excited, man. They want to be on that because there's guys, and Marcus, you know this, right? One of those guys might not have ever played special teams, but he's playing some. Shoot, Marshawn Lloyd was out there. He's playing some of these top dudes. Why? Because he knows how important it is. And some of these guys could easily, and I've seen it at other schools, I don't want to play special teams. Dudes want to be on this unit. Dudes want to be on the punt block unit. Why? Because you see how much of an impact it's making. Two punt return for touchdown, two block kicks return for touchdowns. That's why you're getting the results, because you have people that care because he cares in Lambeau.
And I'll leave it with this. because of that point, because we have a selfless team, because when special teams are important, that means you have a bunch of selfless dudes in your locker room. Because of that, when things get tough, like they're going to get next week against Arkansas, when adversity hits, we will not bend. We're going to bend, but we will not break. We will not break because of that, because we're going to get stronger when adversity hits. So,
and since we're going with closing statements, I will say, Beamer, we've talked about this all summer long. Beamer has brought excitement and a different energy and love and enthusiasm to South Carolina. Mike was just talking about what he's done for his players, what he's done for the fans. I mean, I'd run through a brick wall if Shane Beamer hyped me up for it. I don't. When he's running up and down the field, I'm going crazy and I'm watching it on a laptop or a phone, wherever I am. Yes. I mean, he has brought a passion and a and just, you know, an excitement that it wasn't around. He walks into a room, every student, every fan stands up, is clapping, is excited, is cheering. I mean, it's different now. And so that also comes with the expectations and the passion. But I mean, that energy, that I'm proud to be a Gamecock because of that energy. And I love it.
He called me 2 weeks ago, Nick. And when he called me, you know, Shane Beamer pops up on your phone. And it's just like, oh, doesn't matter who you are. It's just like, oh, shoot. You know,
head
like
coach, man.
Yeah. Your heart started beating a little bit faster. But now he was just calling to check in, see how I'm doing. I'm just like, man, I was so ready for the game after that. I was so ready for the game. And I'm just like, I'm invested more than I've ever been as an alumni. But because of who he is, and let's get it rolling.
We do have to end it on one more thing, though, because we didn't have you on the show last week, Marcus, but I think it's actually even better to be able to do it now. Your teammate, Jadeveon Clowney, becomes the fifth Gamecock to have his jersey retired. I thought it was an awesome way of how they went about things. The university, I mean, give credit. I mean, people want to say stuff about, you know, the athletic department when they make mistakes or when they feel like they're not doing good things. Give credit to that entire athletic department that put on that atmosphere, that made the experience of going to the game that much better. Now, I did say this, you know, the Wi-Fi could pick up for the fans, but I'm just doing that because I'm voicing. I may have been able to get the media password still from the stands, but that's not the point. So I'm out there with you guys. I'm going to help you guys. I just maybe had a little bit better juice in my Wi-Fi that night. But Marcus, going back to this, Clowney gets his jersey retired. Special honor. A guy that, I mean, shoot, look, yeah, of course that hit's going to be time All-American. A guy that still holds records for the most sacks in program history in a season. A guy that also holds the most tackles for a loss in a season in program history. He did a lot more than just have one hit. He was more than a one-hit wonder. And you saw it up close every single day.
Everybody, anybody that I come in contact with always asks me who's the best player that I've ever seen, ever been around, ever watched. You know, I've been around Patrick Willis. I've seen Peyton Manning live. I've seen Richard Sherman live. I've seen like all these guys. And I mean, Jadeveon Clowney as a 10th grader is the best player that I've ever been around, ever seen. Greatest talent that I've ever seen. One of the funniest human beings you'll ever be around. There'll never be another Jadeveon Clowney. It's just as simple as that. And nobody should ever put that number 7 on him.
What made him so special, though? What made him just like on the outside, right? Everyone just sees just this freakishly athletically gifted individual. But what was it about him outside of that that allowed him to take that next step to become one of the greatest Gamecocks of all time?
Yeah. He said it in his interview. He said it in the interview going back into the second half when they were going to the second half. And this is who he is. Fun. He never stopped having fun. You know, in the NFL, he kind of described it as it's more of a business now. And that was kind of really telling for me. You know, that was telling for me. But when you look back on his career in high school, which I saw him up close and personal because we scrimmaged him and he had like 7 sacks in the quarter. In college, obviously, you know, he was my teammate. He always had fun. He had fun at practice. He had fun in the game. He had fun in the locker room. He played football because it was fun for him. When you never lose that element of yourself, when you never lose that element of the game, I mean, it's just, you end up being great at it. I mean, it's just, you just like fall into greatness. And that's what he is. That word right there in itself, he never stopped having fun. And he made it fun for us. He made it fun for all of us because, I mean, sometimes he'd talk junk. Sometimes he'd be, you know, loud mouthing. Sometimes that's just who he is, man. It's just like he was just so fun to be around. That's my brother. I love him and happy for him. I mean, now put him in the Hall of Fame and cement his legacy.
No, I agree. I mean, that was awesome to see, and it's fun to hear you talk about it and how much fun he had playing, because if anyone thinks he's a one-hit wonder, you're insane. You're absolutely insane. And then
he's a one-hit wonder, all right? He was the number one overall high school player and then the number one overall pick. Yeah, that's a one-hit wonder, all right?
Exactly. And so who do you think, Marcus, should be the next Gamecock to have their jersey retired?
I mean, how can you not go with Connor Shaw? How can you not put Connor Shaw in there? I mean, to argue that is like arguing with a brick wall. I mean, the dude is most winningest quarterback in school history. He never lost a game. Look, I forgot about that, Nick. You said that like a couple podcasts ago.
That's the coolest stat. How dope do you like that? That is called owning a university. Like, you are the guy. That stat is insane. He
never
lost at Willie B. Never. Like, that's insane.
I mean, that would be next for me if I'm on that committee. I mean, just simply because of that stat, and God, like, he did it with class. he had swagger and he had class at the same time. And never lost in Williams-Brice. So
I won't dig too deep into it, Marcus. I know you're a humble man, but that conversation, as you can imagine, has popped up on Gamecock Central's insider forum many, many times since the announcement of Clowney getting his jersey retired. And many people have thrown your name out there, Alshon's name out there. You know, regardless if it were to ever happen, I'm sure it's just an honor just to know that there's so many fans, especially, you know, that feel that way about you.
Yeah, it's surreal. It's surreal for you to even say that, you know.
I'm one of the people. There's many more, but by the way, I'm one of the people.
Unfortunately, Nick and I aren't on the committee, but there are some people that are, and we'll see who will be the next Gamecock, because certainly from that era, that group that you played with, Mark, is so many guys who have strong cases that you could say could have their jersey retired. Guys, we're gonna wrap things up here tonight on taping this on a Tuesday. I got to get ready. We got a big show coming up here back in Boston. Patriots kick off their season this weekend. But always good talking with you guys. Some Gamecock action. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already. Leave us a nice 5-star review. And be ready to do this again next week. Next week, we'll be talking post-game of the Arkansas game. And then it is Georgia.
God dang Razorbacks.
Woo! One game at a time, folks. We appreciate you listening. We'll do it again next week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.